Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks for Wednesday, March 25th. I'm Sanka Price, and I'll be your moderator for today's program, which concludes today at 2 p.m. Michelle Braffitt is our producer, and hers will be the first voice you'll hear when you call us at 4341790. You can also participate by contacting us via WhatsApp at 266-4862. Just a few opening remarks. I have a concern about what I'm seeing in terms of the reaction to COVID-19 by some Barbadians. I'm picking up two distinct reactions. On the one hand, there's a lot of anxiety and genuine fear. I guess this is reflected largely in the crush of people shopping at supermarkets and stocking up on medicines and other things they consider necessities. Of course, this is a natural response of people whenever they feel something is going to go wrong. You know, we tend to stock up. So if the worst comes to the worst, we can take care of our families and our loved ones. Of course, we have enough medicine at home to treat our chronic diseases, you know, hypertension, diabetes. And of course, to basically have that sense of security within your four walls that you can last out without needing to wait for handouts from anybody. On the other hand, there appears to be somewhat of a laissez-faire attitude by many teens and young adults. It's as if the coronavirus is not a big deal. You know, they're still hanging out in groups, moving around together, visiting each other's homes, playing on the beach. I'm sure some of you, as you move around on a day-to-day basis, you see people, or even in your neighborhood, you see people still gathering and still mingling as if it is, the situation has not changed. Now, since I'm sure all of them know about COVID-19, I suspect they're behaving in this way because the initial word on this virus was that it was primarily impacting the elderly and those whose health is already compromised, as I mentioned earlier, like but non-communicable diseases. So being young, they may think that they're immune to contracting the disease. My concern about this group is that through their irresponsible behavior, they can take the disease home to their elderly relatives. So I would advise all those listening to me right now who have young people in their homes, who continue to ignore the need for social distancing, talk with them. Let them know that they are endangering your life by their actions. And if you love yourself, you better do it, because this disease is serious. The last update that I've seen, something this morning, global update that is, infections are close to 440,000. Worldwide, and they continue to climb, and they're going to get worse in Barbados and the rest of the Caribbean. So we have to prepare for that. The efforts being made right now by the Ministry of Health are commendable. They're doing their contact tracing, they're doing the screening at the airports, they're insisting that people are quarantined or do some sort of isolation if they recently came back from overseas, and they have teams that they're sending around. They are working around the clock. Quite frankly, they're really the heroes in this whole thing. They are working around the clock. People in the lab as well, people in the pharmacies, supermarkets, people there on the front line who are working really hard to ensure that Barbadians can manage this disease and it does not get out of hand as it's doing in the United States and Britain and most of Europe, quite frankly. But there are others amongst in our society who seem not to care. And you need to care because this thing is serious. Anyhow, that's what's on my mind. I want to hear what's in yours. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Not too bad, thanks.
Good. You say you're a first-time caller?
Yes, please. I never thought I had to call brass tacks, but I am now.
Wow, man. This must be something big, man.
Big.
I better call Stetson.
Hey, wait a minute, that probably works. Right. Yes, I call in, my area is in St. Joseph.
Where in St. Joseph?
Ridge Road, St. Joseph.
Bridge Road?
Ridge.
Ridge Road, Ridge Road, St. Joseph.
Coconut Grove, Bizix Road, via Springfield.
Yeah, I know the area.
Surprise, these roads are deplorable. But sometimes I say deplorable, that word is mild. Overgrown bush, the bush on both sides of the road making an arch. Stop signs covered, you can't see stop signs anymore. Potholes is deep, 3 feet. If it's like a real story. But it's deep, very deep. I go to church at Talkie Mount Zion Church, it's Adventist Church. When the elder comes to me on Saturday mornings, he can't get a train time to get to my house. From here, we have to turn and go back down the East Coast. Haggett's, Talkie Mount, to get to business. 15 minutes. It usually takes me 5 minutes to get to church. You call it their boss. We ain't got no equipment. We ain't got no material. I didn't know the problem is something we could do. I be convinced for the longest time. Nothing happening. It's just a matter for this road become impossible.
Wasn't that road fixed about 20 years ago?
Not 20, Mr. T.
It was longer than that.
Last thing this road got fixed, I had just finished school, and I finished school in 1979. I highlighted this in the press last year. They came and they fixed about 300 yards. They never came back to complete the rest. So now they rest up.
You said Ridge Road. Ridge Road, and it's near Bizix.
And Coconut Grove is a whole link road. The whole link.
Right. But I remember a road up there was fixed. It was got about 25 years ago.
Not my road.
Okay.
Well, I'm just so frustrated. I never thought I had a car brass tacks.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine the frustration.
People come deliver to your place, John, Rex. Such a mainship in your door. Hey, come back out there. Well, I got to get that road fixed. What am I supposed to do? Some back in January here, the Prime Minister spoke about having a debushing program.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say, get on my side. I didn't say, down here.
But tell me something, and I always suggest this, and people always think that I'm crazy, but like in that area, why can't some of the people in the area get together and just, you know, make sure the bush is just a little distance away from the road, you know, just cut away from the sides?
I get in front of me, I got that taken care of in front of my house. I don't know what I do there. But the district is not that big. My district only have about 4 to 5 houses.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, I've identified the road now because I was certain mentally, because I know the area. Yes, that road has been bad for a little while. Because I think as Barbadian said, the land there got feet, right? The road there sort of cracks up and moves, shifts a bit.
You know, this road is like, when they have problems in Joseph, Joseph Bridge collapse in 2010, this is the road that them usually pass. If I thought by then they would do something to the road, they never do anything with it. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do? We keep calling, complaining, but don't look at us.
Well, you voiced it here, and I guess we can raise it with the Ministry of Public Works, as well as the Ministry of Public Works, because the end date comes back to the ministry.
I'm calling up on the MP now, and Mr. Duke, the girl, come send somebody and see the role, and they want just to talk like feel that it's more than, you know, let them come and see for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
No, man, going on too long.
Yeah, I can imagine your frustration. All right, there. So are there any other concerns about what about this whole coronavirus? How are you handling that?
I stay at home. I only go as necessary. Like another hour or so, go and pay my bills and then be back in the house.
You don't have access to the internet?
Yeah.
So why you don't pay bills online?
No, if it comes to that, we will go do it. When it comes to that, we will do it.
But
just go by Shopee and do what they're doing back home.
I see. But, you know, the whole thing about it is that you can pay online.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to leave home to pay most of your bills. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
And I think more and more Barbadians need to recognize that connectivity is the way to go. Mm. You're not trying to put anybody out of work, of course, but it would expand the available service, the services that are available. And it certainly means that you can stay in the comfort of your home. And you will have to interact with people in that way.
Yeah.
And you know the, how contagious this virus is.
I see.
Anyhow, give it a thought.
I will.
You have a great day, and I sincerely hope that none of you voiced
it. Say hello to your dad for me.
All right. I certainly will.
Thank you for seeing you.
Yes, I certainly will. All right. Thank you very much for calling. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Sanka.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I am well.
Yeah, your voice is sounding stronger all the time, so I think your bunks about quite admirably.
Yeah. God knows I'm trying to hear him out. You're making me miserable, though, Lord. If you didn't want things the next, you know.
Yeah, you know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with you that just before I get into it, I really want to talk about coronavirus in the Caribbean, some aspects of it from a Caribbean perspective. But I just want to say to you that, you agree that the public officers, the persons managing the program in Barbados are doing well, working exceptionally hard. I understand some are working around the clock, and I am just fearful that somebody might get ill, somebody might get just tired, or might not get the corona with somebody. So I think I would like to think that people are protecting themselves, getting rest, food, water, and not just making themselves any early heroes, you know?
Mm.
So, because if those people get ill, it's going to compound the problem even more.
Yep.
So it's something we have to be conscious of, manage that process.
And why your point is so timely too is because I'm sure that this thing is going to be with us for several months, and we're just starting out
right
on this journey. But I think, you know, we're in for a marathon. That's my reading of it based on everything that's happening globally.
And the way the government's rolling out its plans too, and more from face to face, you see that they're preparing for the long haul.
But which is sensible. I mean, you know, course. I was particularly pleased, and I know you have to make your point, so you'll be able to make your point. But I was particularly pleased the fact that the banks and the credit unions as well, they're talking 3 months and 6 months moratorium and that type of thing. And these are the sort of initiatives that you need, because people need to be protected. People need to be able to feel that, okay.
Reassured.
Yes, they need to be reassured. Yes, that's the word.
Yeah. You started out talking about shopping and whatnot, you know. I'm sure you're familiar in psychology with Maslow's hierarchy.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So those kicked, especially when people are upset, tired, anxious, worried, frustrated. That is why some people, particularly when they're worried, because food gives people a sense of a full stomach, triggers certain reactions in the brain, and brings about a sense of feeling of well-being and security and whatnot. So all these things are interrelated, and people are human beings first and foremost, are always. And we can't see them as statistics and don't expect them to react in human ways. But we have to manage that process too. And they have to be conscious that they're human, seek to manage that aspect of their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk about, first of all, I want to give, for the management of this process or the involvement in the coronavirus process in the Caribbean, I want to give some big rocks or some bouquets.
Mm-hmm.
My big rocks go to the government of Trinidad and Tobago. I mentioned it yesterday with Peter to see how shocked I was. Their refusal to take their own people and forcing them to come to Barbados. And Barbados quite generously and humanely accepted them. And so yesterday I was upset, sorry, but I'm ashamed now of Trinidad, the government of Trinidad and Tobago. After reading the response from the minister seeking to justify it, and then to after hearing that they are preparing to bring home students from Barbados and Jamaica back to Trinidad. The government is actively pursuing that to make that happen. But here's a bunch of their persons who went abroad, and I from what I understand, there was no anticipation of the events that would unfold so quickly when they were abroad on their cruise, and they came out of Europe. And you know what it is like coming out of Europe, the traveling, the lack of open borders, the lack of airline seats, etc. But for a government, I feel it's very callous and hard and cruel of a government to tell them we can't next door. So I say when the students come out, they're going to be processed and quarantined and isolated. Isn't there going to be a process to protect the rest of society from them? Why couldn't that the same service be extended to the people who are in their 60s? How do you differentiate between your citizens and your not? It makes me remember the infamous statement by Eric Williams, 1 for 10 knees lot, which followed after Jamaica had voted
for the Federation. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what 35 mean out of 1.4 million. Don't they count? It is that kind of behavior, the kind of behavior I expect I've seen in authoritarian countries where you have despots and dictators, or in Eastern Europe or parts of Africa, Latin America, but certainly not in the Caribbean. Certainly not. And I thought they were Trinidadians to the bone. Oh, I mean, I'm so glad I'm not a Trinidadian. You know Trinidad better than I do. But I really am ashamed. Mm-hmm. I'm ashamed of this government of Trinidad.
That's really disgusting behavior. When I heard it at first, I said, they can't be serious. You know, because the thing about it is that as soon as they return, you quarantine them. You isolate them and quarantine them.
Right.
But the people are back in their home soil. I mean, when it's their country. Okay?
Were they charged? Were they convict of treason? Were they sent into exile? I know Britain refused some people in, and young in particular, went to the Middle East and joined ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband was killed. Now she was trying to get back into Britain and refused. Because they said she had another citizenship, I think, in Lebanon or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you turn your back on your citizens? Like that next door to you. It's not that they were in Mongolia, or you can't, but they're next door to you. But you can then pick out other ones in the same country, mm-hmm. basically, in one instance, to bring in your younger people. I think it's despicable. Mm-hmm. I really am. But on the other hand, I want to commend the government of Cuba for its contribution, again, to international well-being. Obviously, we remember the days when the Cubans went to Africa to fight for the liberation of South Africa and Zimbabwe and all those other countries. And they sent soldiers, but they also sent doctors and wanted them to send doctors and all over the world. I'm glad to see, too, that the government of Barbados has recognized what Cuba has to offer in medicine. Even though we've had a long-established relationship with Wayne Barrow and Manley and William, I forget, when they, in the late 60s, early 70s, let the United States know, bright and early, that we are not joining the boycott of Cuba. Cuba belongs to the Caribbean. The Caribbean Sea washes its sources. It's a Caribbean country, and we will therefore give them solidarity. And we've maintained and strengthened that relationship all in the past. But you also know that there have been certain prejudices exhibited in Barbados towards Cuban people, Barbadians trained in Cuba and Cuban medicine in general. But I'm glad to see that. I was also glad to see that this one already caught me in Italy. I don't know if you saw the video of 190 students, Cuban doctors going into Italy, getting a standing ovation at the airport, and they were all black. And they say that because...
Black, and they get a standing in Italy?
Italy is one of the most racist countries in Europe.
You know.
And the city, they're probably saying, well, I'm facing possible death. I need these people. They have to see them differently.
Desperate times.
They were standing at the airport. Everyone, I'm going to stand. They were raising that. And I said, look alive. Look how life has changed. But I also hope that are involved or bringing in the nurses or looking at bringing on the nurses, the doctors, also helps to break away that prejudice. Where that prejudice against the Cuban doctors also reminded me of the prejudice that used to obtain in the 80s after the Grenada intervention about the American trained doctors when they wanted to bring the St. George Medical University to Barbados, and there was this there was this prejudice that they were going to downgrade University of West Indies and lower our standards. And but that has changed now with Ross University and et cetera. But I'm saying that Cuba, and in addition to the doctors, there's also the possibility of this medication, which has a, it seems to be helping in some way in the treatment of the virus. And therefore, I'm glad that we are prepared to avail ourselves of all the possibilities, all the services, and that we make full use of them, and that I'm sure we will treat them well, because that's the way we have a good relationship. Like our students go there, but I don't anticipate that there'll be any hostility towards them. But that, like you said, maybe, and but we will make the best use of them, and Barbados can benefit. But
so.
I want to commend all those who took that initiative to be, to bring all the services to bear and let them work to our long-term benefit.
All right, Glenn, well, thanks a lot. And we take a commercial break here and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. Sankey Price here with you, along with Michelle Brathwaite. And going to the WhatsApp, this person is picking me up on the whole idea of connectivity, of increased connectivity, and Barbadians using it. And they say, they asked me, what do you think about internet packages to stay at home? The person goes on to say, with the heavy traffic on networks, slowing will occur even with good bandwidth. Stay-at-home data and net packages, when you can, should be utilized or should be introduced by the telecom companies, so that when and they should not be locked into a contract for having these packages either. And when the time comes and life returns to normal, they can of course revert to their normal package. Basically, I think the idea is a generally good idea. Of course, the devil is always in the details, but I strongly believe that connectivity would help us. You can stay in your home. You can order stuff from the supermarket, from your pharmacy, selected pharmacies, hardware stores, fast food restaurants, and they can all be delivered to your doorstep. You can order them, pay for them, and then they're delivered to your doorstep. So technically, you don't really have to leave home. You can also pay your bills online, so you wouldn't really have to leave home. And that helps with the whole aspect of social distancing. Actually, passing through Broad Street, the first thing that really struck me, the lines were outside Scotiabank as well as for Citizens on either side, you know. And then as you go further up, RBC, yes, RBC, and then there was CIBC, and then also by the credit union, I think. So there were lines outside the banks, and you know, before you wouldn't have this level of congregation outside any bank. Now there are lines outside the bank, and in front of Scotiabank, there was a guy, he mask, which struck me because, you know, whole thing started in China, so. But anyhow, that was just perchance. We go back to the four lines. Good morning, you're in the air. Hello.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Joanne. Hey, how are you?
Hey, Joanne. What's up?
Well, no, I just want to bring something to your attention and to the public's attention. I just received a WhatsApp voice note, and I believe we need to nip it in the bud, hence the reason I'm bringing it here to the public. Mm-hmm. The individual, a female, is either purporting to be a pharmacy owner or a worker at a pharmacy, and proceeded to tell the public to rush and get asthma inhalers and to rush and do this, and because she knows and she has inside information being at the pharmacy and so on, and went on to state that she has friends at the bank and this is what is happening. Now, some people may ignore that, and unfortunately, some people may not. So I have taking the liberty of forwarding that message to the head of the drug service, and I will send it to the police. And I would urge all persons who receive this type of information, please send it to the police, because it can't be hard to identify the voice. I would imagine somebody would be able to identify the individual. We had a similar case yesterday where someone clearly pretended to be working at Barbados Today and misrepresented the newspaper, and that was met with great outrage. People are causing unnecessary panic. We are all scared as it is, but we need to proceed and listen to the instructions of the officials. And I just wanted to bring it to your attention and the public's attention in the event that they get this particular voice note. It is under investigation right now. And the individual, clearly, after listening to that, some people may rush out to buy as many asthma inhalers as possible, which I think, you know, it can cause a major issue. They went on to say that the port will be closed, as well as the seaports and airports, which we know the Prime Minister said different. But again, we need to stop sharing this type of information. And I'm just making a public plea to please stop it, because it's not helping anyone. And I'm not quite sure if the individual who are doing this, if they're bored. But I think the police needs to make an example of someone at some point and soon, so that this malicious type of communication comes to a halt, in particular during this very difficult time.
I agree with you, and thank you so very much. Don't go. And thank you very much for that. I just don't know why people keep doing this thing. Because yesterday, someone from overseas sent me a note saying, "Wow, Barbados got these amok of cases. And I saw this Barbados Today thing, and I was, "But why?" And I looked. First of all, I looked at the time. It was eight. I think it was eight something on the note. And I'm saying, "No, Colonel Bostic is not going to have a press briefing that early. And if he's going to have a press briefing, I would know about it because I'm plugged into GIS and all these government information things that go out." I mean, most of us who are involved in the media, we're plugged into those things. So we would know when these things are happening. And got no information on it. And I said, "I wonder if something going on here." And then, within an hour or so, we got the news that it was fake. You know, but these sort of things cause panic.
I tried to figure out why, but it's just the dumbest thing known to mankind. I mean, really. I'm thinking if it's young persons, I'm not sure, we don't know. I'm hoping that the police would really, because they're already overwhelmed, I'm sure, as we all know. But to have to deal with this type of communication, this malicious type of communication, it's almost like if the individual don't believe that they too can get COVID, you know, and open to that. So I'm not quite sure if they don't understand that there's no one that is safe in the regards of age. We want to make that clear because anyone can get it. We know that. So everyone needs to respond in the same way by making sure we do the right thing. And we can't stress that enough. And I know the media has been. I know the government has been. But to the persons who are sharing this type of information, you can also be held liable too, because if you receive something and you know it can cause panic and you're sharing it, you're just as bad as the person who created it. So if the only way to stop that individual is to not share it. So you can just sort of put a stop to it by saying, "Okay, I'm not going to send this to anyone." And if about six people do that who receive it, then it stops right there. Mm-hmm. So I'm urging everyone, please, it is not helping me. It's not helping Sanka. It's not helping you. It's not helping your family, your children. People need to get the right information, hence the reason why they need to listen to credible news sources. But again, no, those news sources are now being hacked, which then I would have to then bring people back to the Government Information Service, which, by the way, almost got hacked too, because someone used the GIS logo a couple of weeks ago to also send out fake information. So this is we know it's a very trying time. We just need to please think straight. I want to mention something too. I mean, there are individuals worldwide and that are doing things, youngsters, that are not taking this seriously. And a plea now to the young people in Barbados, this COVID virus can attack anyone. And if you think that you don't have underlying issues, think again because you don't know. So everybody has to behave in a responsible way, regardless of age. We need to take this seriously, and we need to put the right steps in place. And please listen to our health officials and our health officials only when they distribute the information to the media. Then we will get the correct information as well. Mm. All right?
Let me chip in here. Don't go yet. I got to ask you a question, but I just want to pick you up here. A WhatsApp is saying, good morning. I'm still seeing the young ones smoking together and passing the spliff from mouth to mouth. The young ones don't care. I think we dealt with that. I just want to take you on, ask you about the sanitizers, hand sanitizers project that you were doing. Can you give us an update on what is happening with that?
Oh, yes. So far, the BDF would have received hand sanitizer. Today, the Royal Barbados Police Force, the Ministry of Elder Affairs, the SSA will be getting today. NCC got the Council for the Disabled, got the Barbados Council for the Disabled, received some individuals will be getting from like the people's homes, the private homes. We would have also done that as well. And the Barbados Water Authority will be receiving some to give to some of their customers in the areas that have been hardest hit. We have to stretch it as best as we can. And we're hoping to get a second batch, hopefully in another week and a half.
So who's making this? I mean,
Collins Limited, with Carlin Laboratories, same owner. And I want to thank Mr. Bourne for doing this. And Mark Maloney has graciously agreed to fund the initiative. And we're trying our best to make sure our frontline workers at least, and the most vulnerable, that they have at least a bottle of hand sanitizer. For example, with the SSA, and good morning to the SSA guys, we're sending down sanitizer for them so they can put a bottle on the truck. Yes, we know they use gloves, but they need to eat too. And they have to be on the road, and they have to eat, and they need to clean their hands. The BDF, obviously, on the front line. The police officers on the front line. You then have the Ministry of Elder Affairs with their social workers having to care for the elderly. We need to make sure that they're okay. And, of course, the Barbados Council for the Disabled. Every person with a disability under the council, we were hoping to get them a bottle. We did the first batch, and those who didn't get within this particular batch, we're hoping to give them now in the second batch. And the one to the BWA, I believe that the Water Authority will then choose the customers that they deem vulnerable, and hopefully that they will get the sanitizer there. I believe by today they will start distributing, by the end of today, and I believe that they may do that through the water tankers, but I'm not sure. But we're gonna continue to do our best to help as many people as we can. There's been a big demand for it. And we saw a lot of hoarding going on. So it was a case of hoarding it right back now for the poor and the vulnerable, which we have done successfully, but we still haven't covered everyone. And we will not be able to do every person, but we will try to help as many as we can.
All right. Thank you very much, Joanne. Have a great day.
Thank you, Sanka. Okay. You too. Bye-bye. Stay safe.
Speaking about the elderly, this WhatsApp here says, this person wants to know what the National Assistance Board intends to do about the health and safety of their workers. And this individual says that they're a frontline worker of the NAB, and they don't have proper equipment. All we get, and I'm quoting here, all we get is dust masks and gloves. Now, with this COVID-19, employees still have to go to numerous houses a day, sometimes six houses a day, where they bathe and with patients, and as well as deal with things like feces and whatnot, changing people and that type of thing, clothing, bathing people and putting the clothes on, that type of thing. And they really want to know, they really want to find out what the NAB, their employer, intends to do about health and safety for them. You've raised it here. Possibly we try to get a phone call to find out exactly what is happening there. But anyhow, I think it's one of those questions that a lot of frontline workers are asking now, and as it's their right to do, because you need to take necessary precautions. I saw that Ms. Joanne Waterman, the president of the Barbados Nurses Association, she's also making a case out for greater protection of nurses as well. And I guess these are questions that that the journalists will be able to ask the Minister of Health or the Chief Medical Officer at the next press briefing, which I think will be on today. Anyhow, we go back to the phone lines because we have a full board. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Sanka.
How are you today, sir?
A bit fuming, but...
Fuming? Why are you fuming, man?
Well, all right, let me start with a few things and then you can get around to the fume. Right.
Your head really hot, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to compliment Cuba. History is a funny thing when you read it and you see certain things happening. And the first thing I want to do is compliment Cuba in relation to they're sending out the doctors and the nurses and the medication and so on to help a country such as Italy. That's the first thing I want to do. So a big kudos to Cuba. Now, the Cuba-Barbados relationship have been one that has been growing from strength to strength over the years, and I'm very comfortable that any assistance that anybody else get, little Barbados will get some as well, as it might relate to Cuba and all that it has to offer this region and so on. But history has not been good to the Cuban people and the population there, and I can't wait to see if the United States will accept any help from Cuba as well. And I know that the Cuban government will reach out to the United States and help them if necessary, even though they might not want to make it public. But saying that, now, certain behavior of government, and Mr. Murray put it in the best possible way when he said that the behavior of the Trinidadian government and its citizens leaves a lot to be desired. It is unfortunate that in this whole exercise you can have unsavory individuals, countries and governments and so on that can do what they deem necessary, not what is in good faith or in good public perception necessary, but individuals are going to make decisions that can come back in the end and cause us real problems going forward. And what we're not seeing, Sanka, is that you get in information, but I recognize that people are not able enough to comprehend and to understand exactly what is going on. Now, you alluded to it. You passed up Broad Street this morning and you saw the long lines of individuals gathering, mind you, because they were in close proximity of one another.
Very close.
Each of those, very, very close.
Mm-hmm. No, I saw it two days ago
outside the hospital where people that were going to get medication, they were only allowing a certain amount to come into the hospital, and all the rest was outside gathering in large numbers just outside the hospital door. And for the life of me, that is part of what have me fuming. Because how could it be that you're trying to manage a pandemic as it is? You're saying to me, don't gather. And yet still, Barbadians, on a daily basis, as they go about the normal course of business, whether to get the money, whether to be able to get medication, whether to be able to get food to put on the table, all these essential services are gathering at these various places in order to be able to survive. It is all about survival, and the information is not getting across in terms of the seriousness that we are facing. It reminds me somewhat of the Sodom and Gomorrah story, in that we were told, don't do this, don't do that. And yet still, information in itself have been so mixed up and confused. The people didn't know what to do, so they suffered at the end. Let me get around to where you got me through me.
All right, before you get around to that, what solution you think we can come up with now to suggest to the banks the supermarkets in terms
of... That's easy, Sanka. That's the easiest thing out. Media houses like yourselves, everybody is listening to radio or is listening to some sort of information. Do what I do. Don't go in a lot of people there and stand up 3 or 4 paces away from the next individual. That's the simplicity of it. Instead of, well, the credit union, the banks, the supermarkets, and so on, have people tell the people only 25 of them want to come now. When 30 or 35 come, do not accept them. Tell them go the way. Random, not literally random, but try to send out a message to the effect that, look, we got 25 in there already. That's the required amount. We don't want 100 to be outside gathering. So therefore, come back at another time. You know, the simplicity of it would be hard to meter out, but I ain't seen anybody doing it. They're allowing hundreds of people on Broad Street this morning gathering. The simplicity of it, Sanka. Tell 25 to come and send out messages. If 30 come, we can send back 5. If 100 come, we can only take 25 and send back the 75, and sort of allow people to move around in small numbers. I think what has happened overseas, we can do here in a safe way. Now, the police force and the defense force and all the essential services are combining. These forces can disperse crowds, not in a harsh way, but in a meaningful way. If the company is taking 25, you can have the services helping to move on people and then move back in people back and forth in order to get it done. Somebody come up someday in Spain there the other day and he didn't have the prerequisite to be on the road, and he was faced with $10,000 fine or jail. Well, you know, he paid the $10,000. Because you didn't want to go to jail. So I'm saying that measures don't have to be as harsh and as rash as that, but the simplicity of it, in that if 5 people are supposed to be on the road at one time in a particular neighborhood, shut down the neighborhoods and let 5 people come out and go and do the business. And then when them 5 done it, they come back, do another 5. Otherwise, I don't want this thing. Sanka, has it moved to Stage 3 as yet?
No, not as yet, as far as I know.
Right. So that's where we're heading for Stage 3, you know.
But we are going to get there. I mean, it's inevitable.
I don't want us to wait till we get to Stage 3. Now, knowing all of this, Sanka, let me get wrong to what got me humbug this morning. Me being on Broad Street this morning, I went to do a transaction. And I was told that I cannot do the transaction because I am sending to a third party. And the company policy is that if I'm sending to a third party, they cannot send the transaction. I disagree with that categorically. Sanka, if I come to Starcom Network,
hold on. We've got to make sure we compare apples with apples.
Yeah.
Okay. Just let me get straight. You went to send money to from here in Barbados to someone else outside of the country or inside of Barbados? Outside the country. And the bank said they cannot facilitate that.
I'm not specific to a bank or an institution.
Or the institution said they cannot facilitate that.
They cannot facilitate that because they have not met the individual of which I'm sending the money to. And it is the company policy that if that organization deems that I haven't met that individual, I cannot send any money to that individual.
But how would they know that you haven't met the person? They asked you
because they asked me a question. They tell them truthfully, I ain't meet the person, so therefore.
I see. And this is supposed to be a personal gift?
Yes, please.
Oh, I see.
Now, let me back up a minute. I said to somebody in authority there that if I have a family in South America, and let me say, for example, one of the individuals that I send my money to had died. Right? I haven't met the mother. No, I haven't met the sister. So now I have to support my child. You are saying to me that I cannot send money to that individual because they were sending to X before. X before is not available, and therefore I cannot send to Y. I disagree with this fundamentally, Sanka. The difficulty with it is that does not happen in every sphere of business in Barbados. CEOs died, individuals died, people move on out of companies, and the company is saying to me categorically that if they deem my transaction to be third party, they cannot send it. I had to question if there's a red flag against my account. I had to question if the company has put something in place or they know something about me that they don't know. I am hearing, no, you don't have a problem. The problem that you have is that you send in to a third party. And I say, no, I am not sending to a party. I think he used to work at Starcom Network. He left and gone down by the nation. Somebody replaced Sanka in the chair at Starcom Network. I haven't met that individual. I want to send to the person that's sitting down in the chair that Sanka's sitting down in. No. You should be sending to, but Sanka is not available. You cannot send to the new person that's sitting down in the chair because that is a third party. Sanka, I do a lot of business in this country externally. Right now, I got people working outside of the region looking after things on my behalf, of which, because of the COVID-19 and so on, things are going to be a bit difficult to get work out because borders closing and things can't come in as normal. We are asked as individuals through your program as recent as moments ago, you were saying that we should try to do a lot more online transactions. The companies that provide these online transactions are making it difficult for small people that are trying to do business like myself to do transactions. I one time quite recently, Sanka, when they had the restrictions on foreign currency, went to a local bank and made preparations to send a lot of money in US money to an individual in a foreign country. 2 days passed, and when I was speaking to the client, I haven't met that individual. We communicated via the telephone at home, speaking to you now. And 2 days later, when we were speaking to the client in the presence of my partner, we realized that the individual did not get the money. When we went back to the bank said to us, hold on, we are very sorry for what had happened, but your transaction didn't go through because the central bank did not get back with the approval at a reasonable time. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We, tons and tons, hundreds, I mean thousands of US dollars, and I didn't meet that individual, and we were able to effect that transaction. I was told that, yeah, well, if something was wrong with your money, you would have get it back, because the bank facilitated the transaction. I also know that that company pays back a lot of people money doing the same transaction. So it comes right back. It comes right back to what has me itching this morning, to the effect that small people like myself that sends out a very small little bit of money from time to time to effect something, because I don't do it for free. I don't do it for fraudulent reasons. I do it because it has a benefit to me. The great Carl Williams in Barbados say it makes no sense doing business except that it is not profitable. I am not extorting anybody. I'm trying to do a legitimate transaction for a small amount. And I'm being told that I can't do so because they have to meet the individual. And they say that's categorically wrong, and they're taking advantage of small people that are trying to do the right thing.
Sir, the only thing that I can suggest off the top of my head is if you can go through PayPal or if you can go through another institution and see if you can get it done.